This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Destined to win, destined to win. How many know in the room that you are destined to win in life? Because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, we are called to conquer and we are destined to win. Repeat after me. Say, I'm called to conquer and I'm destined to win. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, a very familiar passage of scripture. It's a more or less a foundational text for our ministry. It says, now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes but always causes us to triumph. Where, class?
In Christ.
All right. All right. Always calls us to triumph. Where, class?
In Christ.
Okay, there you go. All right. I want to make sure y'all ate your Wheaties this morning. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So the Bible teaches us that thanks be unto God, the writer says, which always calls us to triumph in Christ. So we've learned that if we do it God's way, that we're going to get God results in our lives. And I think that that's the key, learning to do it God's way, and not just do it God's way, but consistently do it God's way, right? Like if I could, whatever you do consistently over time, you got it, is going to produce some things in your life, whether they be good or whether they be bad, right? And so regardless of your situation, how many know in the room that you can win with the hand that you've been dealt? No matter what it looks like, no matter what the situation is, even though it may have taken you by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise, and God already knows what he's going to do in your life and in your situation. So you are destined to win. And in this first lesson, I'm just really using it as like a faith booster and like a faith refresher to get you to remember that I got to know who I am. Like, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been seated in heavenly places. And so, you know, I watch this, that I'm not defined by what I went through or what somebody said. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm going to take this word. I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to get results in my life because I am destined to win. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand that, amen? And so in this fast-paced society that we live in, process has gone out the window, all right? There was a time where they used to, maybe grandmama or great-grandmama used to make homemade pies and, you know, make bread from scratch. I don't know if some of y'all maybe did that or remember that. I know when Hannah bakes a pie, she will not go get a pie crust from Harris Teeter or Food Lion. She's going to make her pie crust from scratch, right? And, we don't do that anymore. You know, scratch is obsolete. Scratch has been scratched. Now we have drive-through windows, and you don't even have, we've got cell phones. There is a generation that doesn't even know what it means to go to the phone booth. There's a generation that doesn't, you know, when I was in high school, we didn't have cell phones. You got it? You know, and during the end of my time in high school, they introduced us to these little things called beepers. Y'all remember that? Yeah, and boy, you thought you were somebody if you had a beeper, praise the Lord. I mean, you know, and if you could afford that $13 a month, you could wear that thing, you got it. And we would figure out ways to send messages, you got it, on the beeper where you could understand what somebody was trying to say, you know. And so now we have cell phones, and our cell phones are literally computers. They do everything, right? When I was a little boy, my dad used to make popcorn, but he made popcorn on the stove. How many remember that? You got it. But we don't make popcorn on the stove. Now you just throw it in for 2 minutes in the microwave, and it's done. And so we live in this fast-paced society, and process has gone out of the window. You got it, for society, but not for God. And if you're going to get the goal watch, so to speak, in life, how many know you're going to have to endure some things? You're going to have to go through some things. The writer says that we endure hardship as good soldiers. And so that's just part of it, that we are believers, that we walk by faith, that we love God, but we understand that there are afflictions that will come. But even though that they will come, God has already made a promise that he's going to deliver us, not out of some of them, but out of all of them. And so I have to know that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, I am destined to win. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 13th verse says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. I love this scripture. I love the entire part of it. I especially love that part because there's some times when you go through in life, you got to remind yourself that God's never going to let you down. You got it? And systems will let you down, and people will let you down, and family will let you down. But thank God you serve a God that makes a commitment that he's never going to let you down, that he's never going to leave you, that he's never going to forsake you, that he's going to be with you till the end. The writer says he'll never let you be pushed past your limit. You got it? And so that means that if you're facing it, you can handle it. Because if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you, right? You know, and he'll always be there to help you come through it. So you have been engineered by God to win in life, and you can win with the hand you've been dealt. But what you're going to have to learn how to do is be a maximizer. Everybody say maximizer. Now, there are three kinds of people in life. There are three kinds of people in life. It's been a long time since I've taught this, and so this is a good refresher. The first type of people in life are criticizers. Everybody say criticizers. These are people that are always negative in every situation. You got it? You got it. They just, it's all, you know, it's always what's wrong, and it's always what's not going right. They spend more time talking doubt and unbelief and talking about the problem instead of confessing the promises of God in our life. What we have to learn is we cannot be criticizers. We cannot criticize everything that's going on. We cannot be negative about everything. We can't, you know, we've got to learn how to not confess problems but confess the promise. Does that make sense? You got it. I work overtime not confessing the problem but confessing the promise. I work overtime saying he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, that he's with me, that he's never going to leave me, that he's never going to forsake me, that he's going to be with me till the end. You understand that if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be right there to get me through it. So you have to learn how not to confess the problem, not to talk about the problem, but you confess the promise. You got it. That's one thing that I have a conviction of, and that I have a discipline, you know, that I don't really like talking about the problem. You got it. I prefer to talk about the promise. And when things go on in my life, and I'm just like you, things go on in my life like things go on in your life, but I just try to have a discipline just to keep moving in spite of. You understand what I'm saying? Can I just say how I feel it? Yeah. Oh, only three of y'all want me to say how I feel it. All right. You know, like I realize, and you know, of course, God is the one running this whole thing. But in my mind, you really can't afford for me to have a bad Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't need me to come up here, you know, talking about, well, praise the Lord, saints. We just going to do what we got to do just to make it by. You know, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain, and this is my fourth weekend, man. People just won't leave me alone. I'm just trying to be the best pastor I can. And, you know, you don't need that. Come on, somebody. You got your own situation that you're dealing with. You need a man of God, a man of faith, a man of power. Come on, somebody. That's going to tell you you are a child of the Most High God. You got to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. You got to learn how to move forward in faith. Hello, somebody. But if I spend all my week telling a lady, well, poor old me, and people don't even understand what I go through, then I'm going to get up here like that. So if something happens in my life, lady knows I don't want to talk about it. Well, I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. We're going to work everything all right out, and I'm going to move forward with my life. Why? Because he is the author and the finisher of my faith. So if I believe he's the author and finisher of my faith, I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the promise. Come on, somebody. And so I'm not going to be, because it's easy to criticize. You know, one thing, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but one thing, you know, coming up in the old school church, it was very critical. You got it? And I love how I was raised. I wouldn't change it for the world. I appreciate it. Taught me holiness, and it taught me integrity and those kind of things. But we're just very critical. And the Lord showed me that years ago. You got it? He said, son, you cannot allow yourself to have a critical spirit, critical of this and critical of that. And you don't like this and you don't like that. No. He says, you got to see everything in people through the eyes of eternity. You got to see them the way I saw them, even though you don't agree, even though you don't like it, that I paid an incredible price for them, and it's the same, watch, the price I pay for them that I pay for you or for anybody else. So learn to love people and show grace. Does that make sense? All right. All right, so you know, and sometimes that can be a full-time job. I think we can all agree to that, you know, but you have to be intentional, you got it, and always understand, you got it, that people belong to Jesus. You got it? So there's criticizers. Then, number two, there are traumatizers. These are people that fall apart over everything. You got it? They just fall apart over everything, you know. They make things out to be more than they really are. They make mountains out of molehills. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And they will even call you on the phone and attempt to get you upset over something that don't even matter. And that's why you thank God for caller ID. You can determine how much drama you want in life and how much drama you don't want in life. You got it? If you're going about your day and it's a great day, God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. You know, and then you happy, you get the phone, you say, oh, not today. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. My God is great. All right. You know, I'm my own, you know, my own band. You understand? My own choir. So I do the bass, I do the tenor, I do the alto, I do the soprano. You got it? You know, but, you know, the lady just tells me to do it by myself. I'm like, that's all. I'm okay with that. So we've got criticizers. We've got traumatizers. And then number three, we have maximizers. And this is what we have to learn to be in life. You got it? If you are going to win in life, you're going to have to be a maximizer. These are people who choose to face life situations with spiritual principles to overcome obstacles and walk in God's best, all right? These are people who choose to win with the hand that they've been dealt. These are people that know the word, that walk by faith. They know how to take a licking and keep on ticking. These are people that don't need pity parties. You got it? Like, my whole thing is, I don't need sympathy. I need the supernatural. When something's going on in my life, I don't need nobody to feel sorry for me. You got it? If you're going to do anything, pray. You understand? Because I don't need sympathy. I need the supernatural power of God to show up in my life to help fix whatever's going on in my life. Right? And that's the same thing that you need. And so you have to be a maximizer in life. Maximizers keep going. Maximizers push. Maximizers confess the word of God. Maximizers keep the right attitude in spite of what's going on in life. Maximizers always keep the right perspective and not the wrong perspective, because they know that the wrong perspective can take them backwards. So you have to understand that God designed us all and gave us everything we needed to be maximizers in life, right? He really designed you to live a good life. We know John 10:10, he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. But watch this, unless you release faith for the abundant life, you won't see it in your life. Does that make sense? You got it? He really calls us to live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. Everybody say no stress, no stress. No strain, no strain, and no struggle. Do stress, strain, and struggle try to show up in your life? Of course it does. You got it? So what do you do when it tries to show up in your life? You confess, no stress, no strain, and no struggle. You got it? Pastor, what if you're confessing at 8 a.m. and it's there at 8 p.m.? You keep confessing, no stress, no strain, and no struggle, right? Ephesians 2:10 teaches us that this is the way God wants us to live. For we are God's own handiwork. We are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared when class ahead of time that we should walk in them. Watch what it says. Living the good life. That, watch this, living the good, that's in the Bible. You got it? I remember when I first came to the city, man, boy, you know, I'm sure I still get it. I just don't care anymore. But boy, people used to work overtime on me. You got it? And the thing is, I would be like, if people would just slow down, you got God, preach over there said this. But if you would really take your time, anything the preacher said was in the Bible. So does the Bible say living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live, you know? And so, what, you know, I was talking to God, you know, about certain situations and, you know, because you're always trying to help people. You're trying to teach people faith and get them to the next level and all those kind of things. But one thing the Lord says, son, you or anybody cannot take the responsibility of somebody else's faith. You got it. There's different levels of faith. The Bible talks about weak faith, and the Bible talks about strong faith, and those kind of things. And one thing that I have learned is that if I don't get to a certain place in life or a certain area, it's nobody's fault. It's not God's fault. You got it. It's not my neighbor's fault. It's nobody's fault. Watch this. What I've got to do is I've got to increase my faith so I can get to where I'm trying to go. Does that make sense? Everybody say, increase your faith. Increase your faith. Yeah, and so that's that, you know, if you are not living the kind of life that you want to live, it, you know, you've got to increase your faith so you can live that kind of life, because that kind of life that we see in the Bible has already been made for us. So to the degree I increase, but a lot of times we don't want to increase our faith, because as we begin to increase our faith, it causes us to step out in the deep, and we're so used to our comfort zone. So because I'm used to this comfort zone, I don't want to step out in the deep. So I always stay where I always have been, even though I'm not satisfied, because if I step out into the deep and really release my faith, it's not comfortable. I've never been there before, not realizing that there are levels of faith, that we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, realizing that if you step out into the deep and you step out on faith, God's not going to let you drown. And as what's going to happen is it's going to increase your faith, you got it, to the degree that when I get here, watch this now, I can't go back here. Like when I'm over here, you got it, you know, like there's some, how can I say this while people judging me? I live an incredible life. Y'all know that, right? Like, that's no secret. You know, before I started pastoring, you know, I started pastoring when I was 30, but, you know, Lady and I, we made our first million when we were 25. So as you can imagine, we live a good life, right? Well, there's certain things that we got used to, you understand? There's certain things that we expect in life, you got it? And if we, watch this, and if I'm here, and I get this, I'm not satisfied. It doesn't make me ungrateful. Come on, somebody. It doesn't make me suchy much. Come on, somebody. You got it. It doesn't make me a brat. Come on, somebody. It's just that I serve a God who has brought me to this level. And the same God that brought me to this level doesn't want me to go back to that level, because we are not those that draw back. Come on, somebody. But he wants me to move to the next level so I can see, watch this, his goodness, his greatness in my life. Because watch this, if I can get to the next level, then I can help pull somebody back from there. Does that make sense? So thank God for a man and woman of God that has gone before you. Thank God for a man and woman of God that has worked the faith process. Thank God for a man and woman of God that are blessed, because everything flows from the head down. We follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but I ain't following nobody that's broke, that's got a bad marriage, that's willing to step out on faith. I ain't following nobody like that. Come on, somebody, because you're not showing a good representative of who God is. But when I see somebody who has gone before and look back and tell me, the same God that did it for me will do it for you. God is no respecter of person. He is only a respecter of faith. And then I don't mind when my man or woman of God push me a little bit. That's good all by itself. Somebody say, I'm supposed to live a good life. Come on, say it with conviction. I'm supposed to live the good life. Say, I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. I drive the best. I go first class in life. Now give the Lord a big hand praise. But at the same time, there's no competition to what I said, because whatever the best is the best for you. Isn't that right? You got it. So your best definition might be different from somebody else. And that's okay, because we don't compare, because Paul says when we compare, we're unwise. So what I'm saying is, get in faith to get to where you want to be. Does that make sense? All right. You know, because, oh, man, I don't know why I'm going down this route. I got a whole lesson. I haven't even gotten to point number one. But I'm just, can I just say it how I want to say it? Like, nobody's coming to save you, quote, unquote. You got to take this word. Come on, somebody. Apply in your, you got to stand on the word of God. You got to turn down your plate and fast. Huh? Come on, somebody. You got to say, no, I'm going to pray until something happens. I will fast until something happens. I will confess the word of God. I'm getting real excited. I will confess the word of God until something happens. Come on, somebody. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but it's the violent that take it by force. And my thing is, why are we sitting around in a pity party? Come on, somebody, talking about poor old me, and while on others thou art passing. You don't have to make a special trip, but Lord, please don't pass me by. No, that's not what the Bible teaches me. Come on, somebody. The Bible teaches me that we fight the good fight of faith because the fight is fixed and I already win. Now give the Lord a big hand praise. Yeah, praise the Lord. See, I'm your faith coach. Come on, somebody. I'm your cut man. I can't be in the ring with you. You got it. A cut man, you know, when you understand boxing, a cut man, he's over in the corner. And when they're between bells for timeouts, he sits down and the cut man starts kind of, you know, fixing him up and, you know, healing his little wounds and stuff and tell him, hey, man, instead of go left, you need to go right. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and you need to, you know, you should have been diving and shucking instead of shucking and diving. You understand what I'm saying? Right? You know, and so I can't be in the fight with you, but I can help you fight the good fight of faith. Does that make sense? Yeah. And sometimes you gotta, sometimes you need pastor to get up and just push you. That's the bottom line. Sometimes, you know, because sometimes if we're real honest with ourselves, sometimes we will get stuck in law. Sometimes we won't realize that we're trying to create a pity party for ourselves. And I'm not saying that's everybody. You know, don't get offended when pastor says something. If the shoe don't fit, you know, then it's all good. Right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to understand that, you know, but I know that I'm helping somebody some of the time, but I'm helping everybody all of the time if I keep teaching this word of faith. Does that make sense? Got it. And I'm built like that. You got like when I'm having some tough weeks, you know, because you know the enemy come at me like he come at you. You understand what I mean? If I have tough weeks and you know people try to attack me or those kind of things, you know, and thank God for a good wife and lady, you know, she'll want to come in, you know, babe, are you all right? And want to try to, you know, and I'm like, no, don't do that. And she's like, well, I'm just trying to be nice. And I said, I know, babe. I said, but I, you know, I'm good, you know, and you know, and because what am I saying? That I'm not. Watch this. If I'm here, I ain't coming down. I'm staying here, and I'm going higher. Does that make sense? Because whatever you're going through right now, you're going to get through. Whatever you're dealing with right now, you're going to get on the other side of it. Oh man, I got 6 minutes left. I haven't gotten to point number one. Oh my goodness, I know it. All right. Let's. I'm still in my intro, but let's go to point number one. How many points y'all think I got today?
Three.
I got three. That's right. All right. Everybody say point number one. Three things you must have to win in life. Point number one, the first thing you must have is a God conscious. You have to have a God conscious. This is having a constant realization that God is with me. That he's never going to leave me, that he's never going to forsake me, that he's always going to be with me. Daniel, the 11th chapter, the latter part of verse 32 says, but the people that everybody say do know, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So the Bible says those that know their God, those that have a relationship with God, those that are in communion with God, those that are in fellowship with God will be strong. Right? And watch this. And not only will they be strong, but the Bible says that they'll do exploits. In other words, they'll fulfill their purpose in this earth, and it'll always glorify God. And so the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Let me tell you the reason why I teach you the word of God. You got it. I teach you. Because sometimes, you know, and I get it. I never take this the wrong way. But sometimes, and I know members mean the right thing. But sometimes they say, well, you know, pastor, you do a good job, but you give us a little juice sometimes. You got it. You know, the little juice is, you know, me going, ah, you know. And I don't think anything's wrong with that because Jesus went about preaching and teaching. So I think preachers are great. I think teachers are great. I think it's based on our assignment. Right? My assignment is to teach the word of God. You got it? And I teach the word of God on purpose so you can understand it, so you can apply it in your life, so you can your faith can go to the next level so you can get results. Does that make sense? You got it. And so I might not always give, yeah, won't he do it? But I'm going to give you the word of God, and it's going to change your life. Isn't that right? That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. Get ready. Yeah. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, right? You know, and I mean, I'm sure that there's some people in this room today or online that who've been with Jesus long enough that can say, I know him for myself. And anybody in the room ever been through a tough situation and God brought you out? God ever opened the door? God ever made a way? Anybody say, I know him for myself? Like, I know him to be a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. I know him to be a bridge over troubled water. I know him to be a burden bearer. I know him to be a heavy load carrier. I know him to be Jehovah Jireh. I know him to be the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. I know him to be my Alpha and my Omega, my beginning and my end, my first and my, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about, I ain't been in this for the short haul. I've been in this for the long haul. I'm not just new to this. I'm true to this. I got a relationship with Jesus. And as long as Jesus is on the boat, I cannot sink. Now somebody look at you and say, I know him for myself. I know him for myself. And that's the key. You got to know him for yourself. The writer says those the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Man, if I had time, everybody say if you had time. Man, if I had time, I would break down the names of God, and I would explain that, number one, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, our provider. I would take you to proof text, Genesis 22, verses 13 and 14, and show you that he's not going to provide just for some, but he's going to provide for all of his children. If I had time, I would take you to Jehovah. I would take you to point number two and tell you he's Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rophika, and he is the Lord, our healer. So we're not going to be healed, but we are already healed. Healed based on the finished work of Christ, that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I would take you to number three, that it says he's Jehovah Shalom, oh my God, that he is our peace, all right? Not he's going to just give me peace, but he is my peace. So anytime I understand the revelation that when I receive Jesus, I receive all of who he is and everything that comes with him. So watch this. It's not the revelation that he's going to give me peace. It's the revelation because he's on the inside that he is my peace. It's not that he's going to give me joy. It's the revelation that because he's on the inside, he is my joy. It is not that he is going to give me freedom. It is the revelation that because he's on the inside, he is my freedom. That I don't have a problem he can't solve. If I had time, everybody say if you had time, I would tell you he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's ever present. And in your loneliest moment, Jesus is always there. I would take you to point number five and say he's Jehovah Gamola. He is the God of recompense. So don't worry about trying to fight back and clap back, because God ain't interested in you doing that. Come on, somebody. Because he loves everybody, not just you and your little group. Come on, somebody. But he loves everybody. So don't be trying to get back at folks, because that's not God. See, you can mess yourself up. Say somebody does you wrong, right? And you ain't done nothing. But watch this. If you keep your heart right, you're going to be in good shape. But if you try to clap back and go tell this person and start causing all this discord, watch this. Now you are just as wrong as the person who did you wrong. Oh, my God. If I had time, I'd take you to point number six. He's El Elyon. The Bible said he is the Most High God, and he has the final say. So nobody has the final say in your life but El Elyon. Hello, somebody. People don't have the final say. Your family don't have the final say. Your boss don't have the final say. The banker don't have the final say. The lawyer don't have the final say. He is El Elyon, and he is the Most High God, and he has the final say in your life. So never be moved by what you see or what you hear, only by what you believe. If I had time, I would take you to number seven, and I would tell you that he is Jehovah Makadesh. He is the Lord, our sanctifier, that he has set you apart. And sometimes you go through things because you've been set apart. Sometimes hell comes your way because you've been set apart. Sometimes people will attack you because you've been set apart. But it is in those times you just got to stand still and see the salvation of God in your life, that you don't have to fight, that the Lord will fight for you. So that's point number one. Got to have a God conscience. Everybody say point number two. Point number two, you have to have a God closeness. Never live your life where Jesus is not within reach. Never live your life where Jesus is not within reach. Peter was, there was a storm going on. Jesus was walking on the water. Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, well, you done asked the right one. Come on. You got it? Like, I am he, right? And he gets out of the water. He starts walking on the water, and then he gets distracted. Everybody say distracted. And that's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, to get you distracted, to get off focus, so you can lose what God is trying to do in your life. And so I've heard hundreds of thousands of messages in my life. You got it? Just being a church boy growing up in church, I listen to preachers, you know, or not a whole bunch, but a few every single week. You got it? You know, like I feed you, I get fed every single week. Matter of fact, I listen to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 times more word than I give you. Does that make sense? Right? And so what happens is, but I've heard preachers all the time how Peter, he got distracted, and Peter did this, and Peter did that, and Peter messed up, but at least he was close enough to Jesus where Jesus could reach down and grab him. Never live your life where Jesus is not within reach. But do stay away from distractions. You got it. All right. And then let's go home, Maestro. Point number 3, we have to have a God commitment. Everybody say a God commitment. There must be a mindset that God must be in the equation in every decision that I make. That God has to be in the equation in every decision I make. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So I got to watch where I walk and who I hang around with. Nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where, class? In the law of the Lord. Is it up there? Okay. His delight is where, class? In the law of the Lord. And in his law do he meditate. And I'm telling you, that makes the difference in your life. There's some scriptures that I've been meditating on day and night for probably the past 3 weeks. I mean day and night. Not just day and night, but every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes, every 45 minutes, you got it? And watch this, little by little, they keep helping me more and more. Does that make sense? Little by little, they give me the right perspective. Little by little, they help keep me to the place where God wants me to be in life. And so he said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, your delight has to be in the word of God, and you got to meditate on it day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, that his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so you got to make up in your mind that you got to know him for yourself, and that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that I'm going to keep Jesus close to me, that I'm going to have a commitment to him. And I know that he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Watch this, class. And whatever you're going through right now, I promise you, if you just stay close to Jesus, he's going to get you through whatever it is that you're going through. Do y'all receive that on today? Give the Lord a big hand praise. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. And that is not void of power, but it will accomplish those things that you set out to do. And Father, I pray for every person in this room and online. You know them name by name and situation by situation. And it's with great confidence I know that you are meeting them at the point of their need. Some are in faith and they're believing for breakthrough. Father, we agree with them for breakthrough this week in Jesus' name. There are those that are in need of a miracle. Father, we believe and agree with them for miracles this week in Jesus' name. Someone needs a touch in their body, and we declare that by the stripes of Jesus that they are already healed, and healing virtue is flowing through their body right now. And we agree with them for total and complete healing in Jesus' name. Some need questions answered, and so we declare that the wisdom of God is coming their way for the situation that they're in. Some need your peace, your green light on situations. Father, give them your peace and their green light. And I curse distractions in their life. I curse confusion in their lives. I curse everything that's not like God that tries to come against them because it's just an attack from the enemy. So Satan, the Lord rebuke you right now with the authority of the name of Jesus. And I just declare in the name of Jesus that this week, that this holy week, that this week of Passover, that as we walk out this day in gratitude for what Jesus has done for us, as we keep the right perspective and hold close to the word of God, that our eyes have not seen and neither have our ears heard and neither have it entered into our hearts the things that you have prepared for us. And we thank you for it and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the room.